hello, and welcome to Checkpoint by Finance Middle East. I'm Naveda Daniel, and today I'm joined by Peter Abu Hashim, Head of Growth and Strategy at Help71. And we are going to be talking about Web3 and digital assets. Thank you for joining us, Peter. How are you doing this morning?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing excellent. Thank you.
Amazing. So let's jump right in. The Web3 and digital asset space is rapidly evolving, right? So what are the key trends shaping this landscape, both locally and globally, and how are these trends influencing the future of digital finance?
So the Web3 concept is a new technology built on the blockchain. It's all about decentralization. It's all about transparency and seeing all the transactions, all the projects, all the different transactions that happen on the blockchain, making sure it's transparent, making sure it's decentralized, and allowing people to have ownership of their money, ownership of their data, ownership of their projects. Just like any new technology that's out there, when the internet came out, when AI is coming out, new technologies require the right regulations, require the right tech, require the right ecosystems around them. And Web3 is going through this. It's a new technology that's 10, 15 years old. It requires an ecosystem to be built around it. What we're contributing to in the Web3 is making sure that we build the right ecosystem around it. Not just us as Hub71 in Abu Dhabi, but globally. Everyone in the Web3 space is very focused on a concept of community. When you look at new projects, when you look at exchanges, when you look at tokens coming out, they all are assessed based on the community that they have. What is community? It's people. People are developers, people are investors, people are bankers. So bringing these communities together is always helpful to create new technologies. And that's why, as Hub71, we decided to jump into this technology. We decided to embrace it early on because we're ecosystem builders by DNA. We're community builders. And we decided we want to help shape up this new technology and this new trend coming out.
Right. How is it going for Hub71?
So we're also new as well. We're kind of a startup wearing a government hat. So back in 2019, the Abu Dhabi government, part of a wider economic strategy that aims at diversifying the economy from oil and gas, created this new concept of Hub71, which is how can I build a tech ecosystem from Abu Dhabi that serves the globe while contributing to my non-oil GDP? That's the idea behind creating Hub71. So the way we started was tech ecosystems are built around, again, people. Founders, startups. So these people are at the center of the ecosystem. And then you need to create an ecosystem around that. So how can I help these startups and founders access the right market partners, the right customers? How can I help them get the right capital access through funds, through investors, through VCs? How can I regulate their products? How can I get them the right talent, upskill the existing talent, get them access to new talent coming from abroad and local talent? So we've created that ecosystem around the startups. Step one was, let's bring startups into the country, into Abu Dhabi. We put a set of incentives that we aim to support startups expanding globally. Step two was, how do I create the ecosystem that supports them in growing? Because you can spend all the money in the world as a government to attract people to come in, but if you don't have the right value prop, they won't stay, they won't excel, and they'll just jump between different cities to take these incentives. So we started creating an ecosystem around them, focusing on the four pillars I discussed. On market, how do I bring all the big corporates, the banks, the telecoms to come in and innovate using technologies from startups, not build everything themselves? On capital, how do I bring the VCs to leverage our offering for their portfolio company, as well as get them deal flow, vetted deal flow from our side? On regulation, it depends on the sectors. We have more than 22 different sectors in Hub71. So how can we lobby different regulators? And I don't want to portray the regulator as a bad guy. We don't need to always lobby the regulator. The regulators are open to understand how is my industry being disrupted. So how can we give them kind of the voice of these people in the center, the startups, the founder, and tell them what regulations need to be done for specific sectors? And then finally, talent. How do we work with upskilling the talent that comes in, the founders, their employees, through our acceleration programs, through mentorships? How do we get them access to the best pool of talent in the UAE and globally through partnerships with universities, etc.? So we build that ecosystem around the startups. So step one, bring the startups. Step two, create an ecosystem. Step three is all about focus. And that's how we shifted into Web3. So focus is, can I put an agri-tech startup with a Web3 startup? Yes, they will learn a few things from each other, but then they have different needs. an agritech company needs land to test out their produce. Versus Web3, you need access to data, you need access to banking, you need to create a community, you need regulations. So phase three for us was focus, as in how do we replicate the model of Hub 71, which was successful, that ecosystem that we built, into specialized ecosystems. And that's where we created the concept of Hub 71 pluses. The first one we launched was digital assets, all about Web3. We saw that need in the market. We saw that gap in the market where, think of these founders and startups from around the world looking for somewhere to kind of host them, looking for somewhere to regulate them, looking for somewhere to listen to them, to help them build their technologies. And we saw that gap in the market and decided almost a year and a half ago to launch this Hub 71 Plus digital assets. And I'll tell you a lot more about it. It's been going very well for us.
That's very interesting. So let's move to the innovative regulation. How are you guys fostering a supportive environment for startups in this sector in particular? I know you gave a general overview, but how are you supporting them? And what are the unique opportunity that the Emirate offers for companies operating in this digital asset space?
So I think the beauty of Abu Dhabi and the UAE in general is that entities talk to each other. There's one vision, one direction, and all the entities are headed in the same direction. Back in 2018, before any government even looked at the Web3 space, ADGM had a very structured framework to regulate crypto assets, digital assets, where you could come into ADGM, have the right framework to build your project, have the right infrastructure to launch new tokens into the market. Web3 is obviously a risky business, a risky industry, because it's a new technology, just like the internet was a risky business before it got regulated versus the community created. What does the internet look like? We're in the same stage now. So ADGM had that infrastructure, had that framework since 2018. Our role is ecosystem building. So what we did around the Hub 71 plus digital assets in that specialized ecosystem is couple that strong regulation that doesn't exist anywhere in the world, while the whole world was looking at Web3 and crypto as something risky and we need to stop that, we were looking at how can we get the actual projects that are building real technologies that will eventually change the world, will change the way we do payments, will change the way we track data, we track identity. How can we get the best deals out there while leveraging those regulation? One. Two is how can we keep improving those regulations? So what we did with ADGM was the funnel of startups that we launched to come into Abu Dhabi through Hub 71 plus digital asset is the main funnel of technology coming in to get regulated in Abu Dhabi. So what does that allow us? One, it allows us to test the frameworks that were put in place to actually regulate more and more companies coming in. Two, it allows us to understand what the market needs. We cannot say that we have everything. We don't know everything. No one knows everything. So there's a lot of new regulations that need to be built. There's a sandbox in ADGM that allows for companies to come in and test out in a safe environment new technologies, financial, non-financial projects, and eventually allow the regulator to build new frameworks around this. So we've categorized projects in general. So I forgot to mention, when we launched, within 2.5 months, we got 700 startups interested to apply.
Wow.
700 applied. So far, we have more than 2,000 companies that applied, and we only selected 22 of those in the last 18 years. It's 18 months. It's still a big number, 22, but out of the 2,000 plus, we've been very selective, and we've categorized them into, can I regulate this company? Is this something that I'm willing to look at, but I don't know? So if I can regulate it, it's easy. ADGM has the regulations. You go through the process. If the regulation doesn't exist, we plug it into the sandbox and allow ADGM to build the right regulation around it. And that's how the initial framework was built back in 2018. And then the third one is certain projects that we think are too risky and cannot be regulated, and we automatically don't look into those. So as a summary, we want to be a big part, and not just in the UAE, but globally, to build that new sector, to build that new space, while making sure it's under ADGM jurisdiction, Abu Dhabi government oversight, and everything is risk-free in a way from a regulatory standpoint. And with this, creating a community and the right ecosystem around it, we hope that Abu Dhabi and the UAE will be the capital of Web3 in the coming years.
Very interesting. So partnerships and collaborations play a very important role in attracting leading global Web3 and digital assets entities, especially to Abu Dhabi. So talk to me about the strategic partnership and collaborations being forged to create a thriving ecosystem for digital innovations. And what benefits do these partnerships bring to both local and international stakeholders?
I think maybe I'll start off with a fun fact. So when 5 years ago when we started, we were a team of around 20-ish people. Today, we're not more than 30. When we started, we have zero startups. Today, we have 300-plus startups. We have 120-plus partners. Startups raised almost $2 billion and generated $1 billion in revenue. So this huge shift in scale of the ecosystem, and why did I start with a fun fact of 20 to 30 employees, did not change how much people we need to support this. Why? Because of partnerships. The way you build ecosystems is relying on partnerships and orchestrating it in a way. So I always go back to these four pillars that I mentioned: market, capital, talent, and regulators. More than 120 partners in these four elements. We have a value creation team that sits with these corporates, sits with these funds, sits with these family offices, understands what is your strategy, what are you trying to achieve, what are the budgets that you have, how do you want to do it, who is the right decision maker in that entity that will take the call to contract with a startup. We onboard them as well into our selection committee. So when we select startups, the example of Digital Asset, 2,000 applications, 22 companies, we have thousands overall across the funnels and around 220 something in our programs that are selected and getting the incentive. So how do we go through this? We go through a very rigorous selection process. Last process alone, we had 90 partners involved. So if it's a health tech company, we get the Department of Health of Abu Dhabi, for example, to allow us to understand, is that something that I can regulate? We get someone from Mubadala Health to say, is this a product that I want to bring in? So it kind of becomes a cycle in a way where I bring in these partners and say, what is it that you're looking for? At the same time, as I'm bringing companies into Abu Dhabi, as I'm bringing companies into the UAE, they support us in selecting these companies. And then we're not bringing companies into a black box. Typically, you see a lot of incubators, accelerators, ecosystems around the world that accept companies based on unit economics. Did this company perform well? Yes or no? Let's accelerate them. They graduate and then they're sitting in that city waiting for a customer or a ticket and it fails. And then they say, okay, I'm jumping to another city. Why does this happen? Because there was a lack of this holistic view of, does the market actually require this? Not every technology that works in the US or Singapore will work in Abu Dhabi because it's a different dynamic. So I think being humble enough to say, what are we good at? What are we not good at? And us is not us. It's the whole 100 plus partners that are involved, and creating that closed ecosystem where everyone knows what they're doing and everyone's headed in one direction. As I said at the beginning, UAE, Abu Dhabi has one target. Everyone heads in the same direction. We've replicated this in the Hub 71 ecosystem. The funds know what direction they're heading towards. The corporates know what direction they're headed towards. A nice example is Hub 71 plus Digital Assets. So when we launched that specialized ecosystem, the main two anchor partners were the largest bank, First Abu Dhabi Bank, and ADGM, the regulator. So we went and said, it's not Hub 71. It's not an accelerator program. It's the whole ecosystem, the largest financial institution in the country, the main regulator for crypto assets, as well as multiple exchanges, layer one foundations, VCs, family offices that look into the space. And we launched that sub ecosystem with around 15 to 20 partners at the start. Fast forward, today we work with hundreds of partners in the space. We have 22 startups. Their combined valuation alone, just looking at digital assets, is around $650 million. Specifically these 22 companies. So it shows you the strength of not doing everything yourself, rather orchestrating and having this big vision and bringing in partners to help you do what you need to do.
Absolutely. Very interesting. So if you want to leave us with one note, if you want to tell other tech ecosystem or give them one takeaway that they can learn from Hub 71, what would that be?
Another fun fact, I think, before I leave you with the last word, the way we've built Hub 71 and my role as growth and strategy has always been defining who we are and what we need to do, what initiatives we have. So we're always mentioned as Hub 71 is an accelerator, an incubator, a tech ecosystem. We define ourselves as tech ecosystem. The way we build the strategy and the way we build that ecosystem was not looking at benchmarks. I think the something that we did that everyone does when you build a strategy is look at benchmark. What did other cities do? Let me do the same. What we did is we build the ecosystem like a startup. What is the problem that I'm trying to solve and how can I solve it? What are the initiatives? And reiterate, build your MVP. If it doesn't work, break it, build another MVP. We've done so many initiatives where we pilot them, they don't work, we move on, learn from them, build a better initiative. So to answer your question, I would say think outside the box, break the barriers of I'm an accelerator, I'm a VC. VCs don't have to invest in one way. Accelerators don't have to follow a program in one way. It all depends on the city you're in, the country you're in, your strength, your weakness, what's your value prop. We do a lot of cross-border engagement. We talk to the government in Portugal, in Korea, in the US, in France. We understand what they do. And I think one mistake we've seen other cities do is that's a typical acceleration model, that's a typical fund, that's a typical incubation model. I'll bring in companies and just play a numbers game. For us, it's more of we're co-founders with these people, again, at the center, the startups, the founders that are coming in. We're understanding what the problem is and customizing a solution for all. And that's how we've built everything we've done in Hub71.
Peter, thank you very much. That was very, very insightful. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
For more such stories, head to financemovies.com and make sure you check back next week for another exciting podcast.